The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed from the region of Galilee. He dwelt in the town of Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was a story told about a court magistrate who was in a pre-Christmas good mood. And he asked the prisoner who was in the dock, "What are you charged with?" The prisoner replied, "Doing my Christmas shopping too early." "That's not a crime," said the magistrate. "Just how early did you do your Christmas shopping?" He said, "I did my shopping about 2 hours before the mall opened." On a more serious note, there's an account about a newspaper columnist, Michael Rocco, who told a story of a man driving home from work one Christmas Eve and who saw a young boy fall through ice on a nearby lake. The man stopped his car, jumped out, took off his jacket and threw it on the ground, and crawled out onto the ice, where he managed somehow to save the child. A happy ending, you would think. Unfortunately, the man discovered that while he was risking his life to save the boy, a person in the crowd of onlookers stole his jacket and the envelope containing his Christmas bonus. Not all stories end with the familiar, "And they all lived happily ever after." The Christmas story doesn't end that way either. Good and evil, you see, can coexist, can live side by side. Just in the verses before today's gospel reading, you had the account of the three wise men, or the three kings, visiting the Saviour in Bethlehem. We will celebrate that more on January 6th. They had followed a star, and when they find Jesus, these stately royal personages don't hesitate to bow down and worship the tiny baby. They pay homage to the infant's foretold greatness by offering great gifts to this child born in poverty. Having been warned in a dream, they decide not to return the same way they came, to avoid Herod. And so too Joseph in a dream warned that there was a fourth king in the story. And this fourth king was King Herod, and his plan for the child was not good. We're listening this year to Matthew's gospel. Matthew was of Jewish lineage himself, and it's important to him to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the traditions of Israel. So he saw Jesus not only as the Messiah, but as a second Moses. And he would be the founder of a new people of God. And this new people of God would live by the new law, the Beatitudes. When Moses tells the account of the birth of Jesus, he makes parallels with the birth of Moses. And there are amazing similarities. When each child was born, the king at the time, Pharaoh in the time of Moses, Herod in the time of Jesus, both kings were afraid of a rival and were determined to eliminate the child. Both consulted wise men about the whereabouts of the child. There were a number of Jewish children killed in both cases and accounts. Both Jesus and Moses had to go into exile to escape death. And in both accounts, an angel appeared, telling them that it was safe to return home. After Herod dies, Joseph, prompted by another dream, leaves Egypt and returns home. In doing so, he fulfills another Old Testament prophecy from the prophet Hosea, "I called my son out of Egypt." Although Herod was now dead, he did have a number of cracked sons. One was Archelaus, who took over after him. It was Archelaus that had John the Baptist beheaded. So Joseph doesn't settle in Judea, but settles in Galilee and to a small little hamlet called Nazareth, an area of land said to cover no more than 6 acres. Here, Herod's tamest son, Herod Antipas, was the leader. And this is where Jesus would grow up. We only hear of Jesus' earliest years and his birth in St. Luke and St. Matthew's Gospel that we listen to today. For these two Gospel writers, it's important to tell us that Jesus was born into and grew up in the context of a family. For the next formative 30 years, there's no account. But Jesus would have learned the normal skills he had in school and would have studied the scriptures in the synagogue. But most importantly, he experienced the love of his mother Mary and of his father Joseph. The second reading today tells us of the importance of love. It speaks of the love we should be thankful for, the love that is shown to us, and the love we are called to show each other. This morning, as we gather, we take a moment to be thankful for what we have. We can hopefully be thankful for the love and care we've experienced in our families. We can also take consolation from knowing that all families are not perfect. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph. Mary, an unmarried mother during her pregnancy. Joseph, now on the run with his family, threatened, unsafe. Their only son being the Son of God. So not all families are normal. What a different place our world would be if only the love of God was known. We are called God's children. He wants our happiness. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to know his love. As I said, it was God's desire that Jesus grow up in the context of a family. He had a mommy and a daddy. They loved him. The simplicity of that nuclear family is now blurred by the emergence of so many different types of families. While all are deserving of God's love and all are welcome here, I often wonder, are we moving towards a day when we will no longer be able to use terms like mommy and daddy, boy or girl, he or she, brother or sister, without causing offense to someone? Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were a family on the run. They were in exile in Egypt. They didn't seek wealth or fame. They just wanted somewhere they could live, somewhere they could feel safe. Around our world today, there are countless of millions seeking that exact same thing. They just want somewhere to live, somewhere they can feel safe. In many countries in Europe, the temptation has been to build barriers blocking those who flee, and then gasp and clench hands together in horror when we read horrible news headlines. On Saturday morning, we all woke up to the news headline of 76 people, many of them students and young children, killed by a bomb blast detonated in the center of Mogadishu. I guess if we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. As we journey towards New Year and the new beginnings that that affords, we take a moment to reflect on our own commitment to family. There is the family that we were born into. Maybe they're with us at Mass. There is our national family here in the United States. And finally, there's our global family in which we share this endangered planet. As we make New Year's resolutions, how can I make my home, my country, my world and global family a better place? A place where we can live in peace and feel safe. Lord, as we look this morning to the Holy Family for inspiration, may we be guided by the love, the acceptance, and the understanding that we see there. May that scene touch our lives, our choices, our words and actions over the coming weeks and years.